Can we thank this team of anointed people leading us into the presence of God? Don't you appreciate every one of them? Praise God. How good it is to come to the presence of the Lord. You have your Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 is where we're beginning tonight. You know me by now. I love the New American Standard Version mainly. But 1 Corinthians chapter 10 is where we're going. Those first 13 verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And we leave there. We'll be headed to Exodus 13 and Exodus 14. We leave there, we'll be headed to Psalm 78. And if we make it through Psalm 78, we don't know if we get to all those scriptures, but if we just go, you know, just endeavor to do what the Lord wants us to do. But we get through Psalm 78, we'll come back up here to John 14 and go to Romans 14, Romans 8, 14, Romans 8, 16, something like that. So anyway, before we share the first 13 verses of this passage here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, at the time that this scripture was written, and then as we read Exodus 13 in a few minutes, at the time that that scripture was written and these events occurred, it could not have been conceivable to the human mind the era and the day in which you and I live today. It could not have been conceivable to them back then the sophisticated guidance systems that are just matter of fact today, just available just to everybody today. If you have a cell phone, you have sophisticated guidance in your hand, whether it's Google Maps or the Apple has their program or MapQuest. There are so many different. Anybody ever use one of those off of your phone? You're going somewhere and you need to find out where you're going, and you find an application on your phone and you let that phone. Anybody ever do that? And now they integrate with the cars, and the navigation systems in the cars are so sophisticated today. They're all just voice activated, and even some of these modern day things, they will tell you where they give you live traffic updates. They reroute you if there's an accident. They can tell you exactly where an accident is on the road, and just so many sophisticated things that could not have been imagined in this day. But the world today, for all of its sophistication, for all of its technological wizardry, cannot compare to the sophistication of God's guidance, of God's ability to lead his people. His ability to lead his people. There's nothing been invented today that is greater or more advanced than God's ability to lead his people. Let's take a look. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. If you'll allow me, I'm going to read these first 13 verses quickly. Paul wrote under the unction of the Holy Ghost, "For I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food. All drank the same spiritual drink. For they were drinking from a spiritual rock which followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not well pleased. For they were laid low in the wilderness. Now these things happened as examples for us, so that we would not crave evil things as they also craved. Do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and stood up to play. Nor let us act immorally as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in one day. Nor let us try the Lord as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents. Nor grumble as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer." Verse 11. "Now these things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall." Verse 13, finally. Verse 13. "No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you may be able to endure it." I know that's a lot of scriptures, but that capsulizes what we're sharing on tonight. Following the inward witness is the name of our message tonight. Following the inward witness. Everybody say that. Following the inward witness. Yeah, following the inward witness. You notice here, the scripture begins in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, talking about how God led his people. And our Father God, he has always led his people. And when he led them out of Egypt after the 10 plagues, he was leading them. He led them through the desert, through the wilderness. He guided them and led them. And the Bible says that God led them. He was in a cloud. God himself, he led them through the cloud. There was a cloud that appeared over them in the heat of the desert. First of all, they wouldn't have survived at all in the desert. The sun, the desert sun, would have killed every one of them. But the Lord led them, and he put a cloud over them. And he not only led them with the cloud, he protected them through the cloud. They were protected from the UV rays of the sun, from the desert heat. God protected them. God guided them. And at night, it was a pillar of fire. So they had light and warmth in the evening, and they had guidance and covering during the day, and their covering came through that cloud. And so when the cloud moved, then the people moved. When the cloud stopped, then the people stopped. And that was how they followed the leading of the Lord. Think about that. God wanted his people to get it right, wanted them to know exactly where they should be, exactly how they should be following him, and he led them with that cloud. And it was so awesome the way that he did that. But the scripture says here that he was nevertheless with most of them, God was not well pleased, for they were laid low in the wilderness. Something went terribly wrong. Even though God was leading them, he wasn't pleased with the way they chose to follow him. Go with me now. Let's go to Exodus 13. Keep your finger there. That's our key scripture, 1 Corinthians 10. We're going to come back to that, but in Exodus, if you will, Exodus 13, God's always led his people. You said, what's the title of this message tonight, brother? Following the inward witness. God's leading us. God's guiding us. He wants us to get it right. God's got so many good things for you, my brother and sister. In these next 6 to 8 months, I believe God's got so many awesome things in store for you. But our key to receiving from God is how we follow. Our key to receiving from God in 6 to 8 months is really based on how we're following him today. How closely are we following him today? Because if we get off course today, 6 or 8 months from now, then we'll be way off course. And Lord, he's a merciful God. How many glad he's a merciful God? He'll guide us and lead us and bring us back. But God's trying to bless us. He's trying to get us from glory to glory. We're in Exodus chapter 13. We're talking about the leading of the Lord. The title of this sermon is Following the Inward Witness. Exodus 13 at verse 17. Now, when Pharaoh had let the people go, God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, even though it was near. For God said the people might change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. Hence, God led the people. He led the people around by the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the sons of Israel went up into martial array from the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had made the sons of Israel solemnly swear, saying, God will surely take care of you, and you shall carry my bones from here with you. And then they set out from Succoth and camped in Etham on the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord was going before. Now listen, this is 21, Exodus 13, 21. The Lord was going before them in a pillar of cloud by day and led them on the way, and in a pillar of fire by night to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night. And he did not take away the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Now, what's interesting to note is that we're talking about a lot. We're talking about 2.5 million people. I said, that's a lot of folk. And that's a lot of people to lead into a desert wilderness. Think about that. A place where there's no water, there's no apparent water, there's no apparent food, there's no apparent provision, there's no apparent protection just from the sun itself, and there's 2.5 million folk. I said, that's a big job. You say, how do you know it's 2.5 million folks? We don't have time to go there. But if you went to Exodus 12:37 in the previous chapter, or Exodus 15:22, it tells you that they were only counting the foot soldiers, and they counted 600,000 of them. By the time you add in the women and children, you come to a figure of 2.5 million people. But God in all of his ability, he is, after all, how many know he's Jehovah Jireh? He knew exactly what he was doing. In fact, as he led him out of Egypt, there was a shortcut to get to where God wanted him to go. But God said, if I take them that way, they'll see war and the people will turn around and want to go back to Egypt. He was pulling them out of Egypt, but he was trying to get Egypt out of them. And so he led them with the cloud. He led them with the cloud. Look in 14. We're in Exodus 14. 14, verse 19. 14, verse 19. These scriptures happen after Pharaoh changed his mind. Pharaoh let the people go. But then God said, I'm going to make an example out of Pharaoh. And God said, I'm going to harden his heart. He's so disobedient. I'm going to harden his heart. And then Pharaoh, he changed his mind. He let Israel go, and then he changed his mind, and Israel started saying, well, what did we do that for? What did we let them go for? We never should have let them go. And you know, when they let Israel go, they left there blessed. I said they left Egypt blessed. And the scripture, we don't have time to go to that, but if you went to Exodus 12:35, it says that 35 and 36, it says that the Lord, before Israel left Egypt, he told Israel, go ask the Egyptians for their gold and go ask them for their silver. And it's not going to be because of you. It's not. He said, God said, I'm going to give you favor and with the Egyptians, and they're going to turn around and give you all their gold and give you their silver. You're going to leave there blessed. I said, amen. And not only that, the Bible tells us that when they left, there was not one feeble or sick person. Think about that. 2.5 million people, when they marched out of Egypt, there wasn't one sick person among them. I said, only God can do that. 2.5 million people. And so they left blessed. They said, well, why? You say, well, why are you saying that? Well, you know, in our previous scripture, when we read in 1 Corinthians 10 in verse 6 and verse 11, it says that Israel, what happened to them is an example to you and I. But part of it is a warning to you and I, because the Bible says with most of them, God wasn't pleased. And so there's a warning in there for you and I in the body of Christ. We're to learn, we're to glean. I said, amen. And it's much better to learn from somebody else's mistakes than learn from your own. How many knows that? You know, and raising my sons, and I'm sure every dad could say this, you know, I've always tried to give them the benefit of everything I know. I don't know hardly anything, but what I do know, I've tried to give them the benefit of that. If I made mistakes in life, I tried to share that with them. Why? I don't want them to make the same mistakes. Why? I'd rather them learn rather than learning from the school of hard knocks. I'd rather them learn from my mistakes so you don't have to make the same mistake. Can anybody identify what I'm saying? And the Bible says we are like God has set that up for Israel. It's important that we know what happened to Israel. It's important that we understand what happened to Israel. Why? Because the Bible says they are examples for you and I. Except that in Hebrews 8:6, it says that we have a better covenant established upon better promises. In other words, when we see what happened to Israel, when God blessed them or helped them or did something for them, when we see the will of God as it was revealed for Israel, we ought to say to ourselves, my God, that was Israel. We are the body of Christ. And if you are in Christ tonight, you should get excited when you see God take care of Israel, because we have a better covenant established upon better promises. Hey, God's got something good for you. And if it was good for them, it's going to be good for you. And he told them, you're going to be blessed when you leave here. And the Egyptians gave up their gold. They gave up their silver gladly. But then Pharaoh changed his mind. And he said, what have we done? What have we done? And he said, get the best chariots out. Those chariots had at least two riders in each chariot. He said, get the best. He said, get the best. He had 600 just premium chariots. And then he had so many others, and they got all their chariots together and they marched after Israel. And the Bible says they were tracking Israel's movements. And Pharaoh said, and God knew what he's doing. God said, lead the people here. Then he led the people here. Then he led the people back here. Then he moved the people over. He was moving them in such random positions that it looked like the people were confused. It looked from a natural eye that they were lost, that they were confused. And then they camped right down there. And the most foolish place you could camp in the natural would be right next to the Red Sea in front of you. A narrow road down to the Red Sea, jagged mountains on the left, unclimbable. Jagged, unclimbable mountains on the right. There was only one way in there and only one way out. And Pharaoh saw their position and he said, I got them now. Oh, he said, they're in confusion. Look how they moved around all randomly. Oh, but God, he was leading them from that cloud. Yes, he was. And God knew exactly what he was doing. And I said, the same God is leading you tonight. I said, the same God knows exactly what he's doing. And sometimes you can ask the Lord, Lord, why you lead me over here? And why you lead me over here? And how come I wound up over here? And how come I went through that? And why did I have to deal with that? Hey, God knows what he's doing. Our job is to follow him. And his job is to do the leading. I said, God didn't hire you to do the leading. He's doing that. And if he led 2.5 million people and didn't want them to, he put a cloud over them. And when the cloud moved, they moved. Do you think he would have something less than that for you and I? Oh, no. Hebrews 8:6. We got something better than that. Better covenant, better promises. If he led 2.5 million people like that, what about you and I? So what did I say? 14:19? And so after Pharaoh changed his mind, Pharaoh was closing in on them. Before I read 14:19, man, you know, I should say this, you know, because when you look at 10 through 12, as Pharaoh closed in on them, Israel was in such unbelief. And Pharaoh was saying out of his mouth, I got them now. I got them now. And Israel started saying, Moses, you're a terrible leader. What leader in his right mind would lead us down a one-way path? They told Moses, they said, this here is a graveyard. There must not have been enough graves over there in Egypt, so you brought us out in the desert to kill all 2.5 million of us. They said, this is the most ridiculous plan. This is the most sorry plan. We are just going to die. And they saw Pharaoh closing in. And they said, we told you to leave us alone. We told you we didn't want to be free. We told you we were enjoying that bondage. And they started thinking back on their former way of life. And sometimes Christian folk do that. And don't let the devil deceive you. Don't let what you're going through cause you to think goofy thoughts. There's no time in your life that you've been better off than you have been since you have been in Christ. I said, being in Christ is the best thing that ever happened to you. I ought to have one amen. I said, following the Lord, it's the best thing that ever happened. He is the best thing that ever happened to you. I said, following Christ, you were dead in your trespasses and sins, and Christ found you and made you alive. Aren't you glad about that? I said, we were unredeemed. Oh, but the blood of Jesus paid the ransom for you and I. Aren't you glad about that? I said, the enemy was your father. Satan himself was our father. Before we met Christ, we had a father. His name was Satan. Oh, but then came the glorious day when Jesus took his hand and said, take your hand off my child. She's my child. He's my child. And he called you by name. Woo! And he saved you through his blood. I said, is anybody glad about that? I said, the day that gets beyond our shout, the day that our salvation is beyond our shout, then that's a say, well, our wood has gotten wet. Because God, he gloriously saved you. And you may not remember it, but God knows all about it. You were miserable without Christ. Don't let that devil lie to you to get you thinking, well, when I was in the world, I made this, I lived like this. Keep living for Christ. I said, he'll bring you out on top. I said, if it's not what you think today, God will bring you out on top. You'll hang in there and be faithful. I said, amen. You can't get in the way, man, saying be faithful. So verse 19, I'm sorry, we're trying to get to verse 19. Y'all distracted me. We're in Exodus 14, verse 19. What's the warning there? Don't be grumbling and complaining. Israel's first mistake was when it looked like they were in trouble, they immediately opened their mouth out of the abundance of the heart. The mouth speaks, Matthew 12:34. They opened their mouth and they began to grumble and complain against God, and they began to grumble and complain against Moses. Don't let that happen at your house. Don't let that happen with your mouth. Things going, you're going through a tough time, grumbling is not the answer. Grumbling is going to make it worse on you. Grumbling is going to make it so hard on you. Complaining, looking for somebody to blame. They want to play the blame game. They said, it's God's fault. Wait a minute. It's Moses' fault. Wait a minute. It's God and Moses' fault. And when things go wrong, inevitably, folk look for somebody to blame. Folk want to play the blame game. But you'll never get your problem resolved playing the blame game. You're going to have to move beyond there. And instead of letting blame and mumbling and grumbling come into your mouth, listen, lift your hands and begin to praise God. Find something to praise God for. Preacher, can't get no amen teaching like that. I said, find something to bless his name for. You said, I ain't got nothing to bless his name. I can't think of one thing I can bless God for. Are you alive? Hey, then bless his name. Are you breathing? Then bless his name. Do you have the activity of your limbs? Then bless his name. All right, y'all distracted me again. We're in Exodus 14, verse 19. I'm trying to read this 19th verse. Y'all keep distracting me. Exodus 14, verse 19. The angel of God, who had been going before the camp of Israel, moved and went behind them. So this means that Pharaoh, he closed in on Israel. And just when he was about to get him, the cloud and all that had been in front of Israel, God saw what Pharaoh was trying to do and shifted the cloud. He put the cloud between Israel and between their enemy. And the same cloud brought light to the children of Israel. And the same cloud brought darkness to the enemy. Pharaoh and his people couldn't see a thing. They couldn't see their hand in front of their faith. But it was bright over here on Israel's side. And so he moved the pillar of cloud from before them and stood behind them. Verse 20, Exodus 14, 20. So it came between the camp of Egypt and the camp of Israel, and there was the cloud along with the darkness, and yet it gave light at night, and thus the one did not come near the other all night. Look down at verse 24. And at the morning watch, the Lord looked down on the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud, and brought the army of the Egyptians into confusion. And he caused their chariot wheels to swerve, and he made them drive with difficulty. So the Egyptians said, let us flee from Israel, for the Lord is fighting for them against the Egyptians. And they tried to turn around and book up, but by the time they tried to get out, the Lord caused the walls of water to cave in on them. And Israel's enemy was buried right in front of their eyes. As they stood on the dry ground on the other side of the Red Sea, they saw Pharaoh and his army buried on the dry ground. Go with me to Psalm 78 real quick. Psalm 78. The Bible says that what happened to Israel is an example. It's an example for you and I. It's really an example. And because Israel, look at verse 34. 78:34. Then he led them with the cloud by day and all the night with a light of fire. He split rocks in the wilderness. He gave them abundant drink like the ocean depths. He brought forth streams also from the rock, caused waters to run down like rivers. Yet they still continued to sin against him, to rebel against the Most High in the desert. And in their heart they put God to the test by asking for food according to their desire. And then they spoke against God. And they said, can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Behold, he struck the rock so that waters gushed out and streams were overflowing. Can he give bread also? Will he provide meat for his people? And so over and over again, they refused to believe. Go back with me to 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10. Because that's what is being referred to here in this passage. And remember, we read in verse 6 and verse 11, verse 6 said, now these things happen as examples to us so that we would not crave evil things as they also crave. And verse 11 said, now these things happen to them as example, and they were written for our instruction. And so again, we can see that. Now let me say this, there are three things that we should take notice of about our Father God when we read this passage in 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 13. There's three things we should take notice of. The first thing that this passage should tell us about our Father is that he's an awesome God. Because not only did he lead them by the cloud, he fed them in that desert. And even in the midst of their complaining, first of all, you can't live without water. Their first need was water. They couldn't live without water. He brought water flowing like a river out of a rock in a desert. Brought water out of a rock, flowed like a river for all 2.5 million of them. Can you imagine the water bill, for the daily water bill for 2.5 million people? That's drinking some water. But God provided for every one of them. I said, he's an awesome God. No sooner had he provided the water, they were asking about bread. When he provided the bread, they were asking, well, you provided water, you provided the bread. Can you provide meat? What about meat out here? And at no point were they just simply grateful and thankful and expectant for God to see them through. I said, that's a warning to you and I. What are you dealing with tonight? What are you going through tonight? God wants you to learn from Israel. Don't follow Israel's example of complaining and blaming. You're trying to blame your wife. You're trying to blame your husband. You're trying to blame somebody. You're trying to blame your boss. You're trying to blame somebody else. Stop all that blaming. Stop all that complaining. Get your eyes over on the Lord. Woo, if you get your eyes refocused on the Lord, I tell you, he can bring water from a rock. I said, there's three things we can observe from God in this passage. The first one is that your Father, I'm talking about your Father, he's an awesome God. Amen. Our God, he is an awesome God. He saved you. He delivered you. You know this. God himself has done things in your life that no other man or woman could do. Amen. I got one person willing to testify. I said, I know God's done things for you. I'm talking about you. I'm talking about you. God's done things for you. No man could have done that. You know God opened doors for you and nobody could have opened that door. You know you look like you were going under. You were going down for your last time. Didn't look like you would come back up again, but your Father grabbed you and pulled you back up again. I said over and over, I'm talking about you. Over and over again in your life, God has made a way. I said he's put bread on your table over and over again. He's put a roof over your head over and over again. He gave you a job. I wish I had an amen in here. I wish I had somebody wanting to testify. I wish I had somebody say, Brother Bill, you talking about me? You talking about my Father? He's been good. He's been good. He's Jehovah Jireh. You needed him and God came through for you. You didn't think you were going to get your rent paid, but God came through anyway. You didn't think you could make the tuition, but God came through anyway. You didn't think you would make the car payment, but God showed up anyway. You didn't think you'd get through the month, but God did it anyway. When it looked like it was all lost, when it looked like you were going down, hey, God stepped in and did it again in your life. I said, I'm talking about you. So we can deduce, we can learn, we should realize that from this passage, any God who did all of that for Israel and did all that for you personally, he's an awesome God. I said, now he's an awesome God. It would have been enough had he just saved us. Just the fact that saving us from a devil's hell, that would be enough. We could go to heaven on that if he didn't do nothing else but save us. Oh, but daily he loads you and I with benefits. I wish I had one amen in this place. I said, he's a good God. He's a mighty good God. And he's been good to you over and over again. He is an awesome God. Only God can do the things that have been done in your life. Only God can lift a man or a woman up the way he's lifted you up. Only God can do that. Hey, he's an awesome God. So we should know, number one, from this passage, he's an awesome God. But the Bible says that he was not pleased with most of them, verse 5. And then from verse 6, through verse 10, it describes why God wasn't pleased with Israel. They're testing him. They're grumbling. And we can deduce this. God is an awesome God, number one, but God is still a holy God. He's a holy God. Amen. I said God's an awesome God, but he's a holy God. Thank God we've been justified by the blood, but God never ceased to be holy. I said he's a holy God. What displeased him about Israel, the way they lived? Their corrupt desires. They were corrupt, wanting the wrong thing. Their worship was off. And the Bible says they started going to some of the cultures around them, and the young men started dating some of the cultures around them. That wasn't the problem. The problem was they began to embrace the idols and the idols and the false gods of these foreign cultures. And they started then bringing that worship to false gods back into the camp of Israel. And a holy God was having none of that. The Bible said that they began to eat and drink, and then they rose up to play, and they created that fatted calf. And when God told Moses to go down, they were having a big party down there. When God told Moses, go down, your people have sinned, he told them, go down. And Moses met Joshua halfway down the mountain and said, what's that noise I hear? Yeah. And it displeased God. God's a holy God. Aren't you glad that we have a mediator? Hallelujah. Who has justified us through his blood. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad for the grace of God, for the goodness of God? Aren't you glad for God's mercy? Hallelujah. You and I are recipients of his grace. We're recipients of his mercy. The Bible said he's rich in mercy. Aren't you glad about that? He's rich in mercy. Praise God. Glory to God. But he never ceased to be a holy God. And Israel displeased him by their continual unwillingness to live right. And they just were unwilling. They were, and the Bible says that it displeased God. So number one, God's an awesome God. But number two, he's a holy God. What'd you say the third point was? The third point is he's a faithful God. God is awesome. God is holy. But let me tell you this, God is faithful. Did you see verse 12 and 13 again of 1 Corinthians 10? Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful. Ooh, that's a powerful word right there. The Bible says that God is faithful. How many are glad that God's faithful? Even if we're not faithful, God is still faithful. He can't be unfaithful to his word. God is faithful. I said, you can count on him to do what he said he would do. You can count on him to give what he said he would give. You can count on him to provide what he said he would provide. You can count on him to touch and heal what he said was touched and healed. I said, God is faithful. But remember this now, what he's faithful first to his word. Can't get no amen teaching like that. I said, the Bible tells us that God is faithful, but when you study that out, you have to understand he's faithful to you and I. Yes, he is. But he's faithful first to his word. He's faithful to perform his word. And that means when we're in trouble or we're being tempted or we're going through some situation, circumstance, or scenario, we need to stay hooked up with the word. A preacher can't get no amen teaching like that. Jesus said this, John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you will and it shall be done. Our job is to get the word on the inside. Our job is to be full of the word. Man, when a man or woman is full of the word, God can speak to you. Ooh, it's easy. It's easy to lead a man when the man is full of the word. Easy to lead a woman when the woman is full of the word. When we get ourselves full of the word, it is so much easier for God to lead us because he's faithful. He's faithful to his word. He's obligated to his word. The Bible says he's faithful. And though Israel faced temptations out there in the desert, what God wanted them to do, he wanted them to say, Father, you're always faithful to your word. You've promised to provide. Abraham called you Jehovah Jireh. You're our provider. There's nowhere we can be, including this desert, that you're not going to provide. Even Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, you're a provider. In the midst of tornado season, you're a protector. Can't get no amen teaching like that. In the midst of whatever you're going through, God is your healer. He is your strengthener. He is your guide. He is your leader. Amen. But what do we need to do? We need to be able to follow him. And just for Israel, he put a cloud up there. All 2.5 million people, they could see the cloud, and then they would follow the cloud. The cloud stopped, they stopped. Sometimes that cloud would stop for months. They'd camp, they'd set up camp. When the cloud moved on, they moved on. They were following the leading of the Lord. God's got something better than that for you, because the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, is down on the inside of you. Ooh, he's given you his Holy Spirit. He's given you his Holy Spirit. Go with me to John just real quick. Go with me to John. John 14. John 14. God has given you his Holy Spirit. Verse 16 and 17. John 14, 16 and 17. I will ask the Father. He will give you another helper that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because he does not see him or know him. But you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. My brother and sister, Google ain't got nothing on God. MapQuest ain't got nothing on God. Get anything you want, get Apple Maps, whatever you want to get out, it ain't got nothing on God. Because the Holy Ghost is on the inside of you. And God's intricate, sophisticated, loving guidance system, if you're a believer, is down on the inside. You see, in Israel's day, they were led by the cloud. They had to follow the cloud. They followed the cloud, and so they were led by God. They were led from the outside in. But again, Hebrews 8:6 says we have, as believers, the New Testament believer, we have a better covenant established upon better promises. They were led from the outside in. We are led from the inside out. And see, that's how some people get in trouble, looking for the outside. I just need you to give me a word. Hey, you need a word. Get in the Word of God and then search and examine your heart and follow the inward witness. Romans 8:14, Romans 8:16, all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And the Spirit bears witness, where? With our spirit, that we're the children of God. And Proverbs 20:27, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Amen. And I said, God, the primary way that he leads us is through that inward witness. Israel, all 2.5 million people, they followed, they were blessed. They followed the cloud. They were led accurately. God led them to Canaan land, told them, this is your land. This is the land I've given. They were blessed following the cloud. You and I are so much more blessed because the cloud, the glory cloud, it's on the inside of you. You said, I know about the Microsoft cloud. I ain't talking about no Microsoft cloud. I'm talking about the glory cloud. It's on the inside of you. And God has just as eager a desire to lead you. My favorite scripture, Psalm 32, verse 8, God says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. And I will counsel you with my eye on you. Then you know what verse 9 said? Don't be like a horse or a mule. Why? Have no understanding, whose trappings include a bit and bridle to keep them in check, otherwise they won't come near. Can't get a horse and a mule to come near. Horse and a mule known for stubbornness. Horse and a mule known for resistance. But God said, don't be a horse and a mule. Don't resist. Because listen, he won't make you do it. Listen to me now. He won't make you and I do anything. He lovingly leads us and guides us. But if we hit the override on that thing, God will let you do it. In my car, there's a button you push, and that button keeps the car in the lane. And if you exit the lane without a blinker, the car will store the car will stare itself back into the lane. So I bought a car. I know how to work the car. I'm driving the car. I exit in the lane, and the car stared back into the lane. So what kind of car is this? I'm trying to go right. The car steered me back left. But I learned if I put the blinker on, what are you saying? I'm saying I overrode it. Now you could, once the car pulls you back to the lane, you could, if you turn a little harder, you can override it. And that's a lot of times where we miss the Lord. The Lord is steering us back into the right lane, and we turn a little harder and override that thing. And God's trying to do something for you, through you, and in you that he can accomplish over these next 6 to 8 months. Let me tell you this, God's got a sophisticated guidance system. He's called the Holy Spirit. And he resides, if you're a believer, he resides on the inside of you. Now, if you're backslidden, your guidance is gonna be all messed up. Because you're combining flesh and you're combining flesh and spirit. You're letting flesh override spirit. But God can get that straightened out just like that if you let him. The Bible says if today you hear his heart, don't harden your heart. If you hear his voice, if the Lord's talking to you, don't harden your heart, soften your heart. Obey God. He's leading every single one of us. Jesus said this, it's to your advantage that I go away. Remember he said that? He said, it's to your advantage that I go away. Because if I go away, I'm going to send the helper. If I don't go away, the helper's not coming until I go away. What was he talking about? The Holy Spirit will be on the inside of you, and that will give you such a huge advantage as you train your heart to be sensitive to him. Then he can lead you and guide you in every situation in life. So what is your question? God's got the answer. What is your concern about that? God's got the answer. What's troubling you? His word has the answer. Let's pray together. Father, we've endeavored in these few minutes to share along this line where we believe you led us. And Father, we believe that you're trying to get something to your people. But you want us to be more sensitive to you on the inside. Want us to train our spirits better to be more sensitive. And Father, thank you for all the ways that you speak. If you speak prophetically, thank you for that. If you speak in some supernatural way, thank you for that. But thank you for the main way, through the inward witness. Thank you for leading and guiding us. And Father, some of us have overridden you. And where there's someone here that's done that, Father God, then, oh, Father, we pray you would move upon their hearts for repentance and then forgive as only you can. And Father, restore as only you can. And then correct what's wrong with their leading and guiding. Father, some here move from circumstance to circumstance, missing it, not getting it right, thinking it's you and then discovering it's not. Oh, but Father, in their heart of hearts, they want to be led. And we've all made mistakes. We've all missed it at some point. But some are having a pattern of missing. And Father God, we know you don't want that. We know you want to help them. You want to lead them right in a way that they can trust. And so tonight, Father God, get a hold of their heart. Get their attention. Father, lead them and guide them in the direction of your word and spirit. Father, we trust you tonight. We look to you. Someone right here tonight or someone listening needs to hear from you, needs a word from you, needs direction, needs encouragement. Somebody needs to be lovingly corrected as only you can do. Your kindness leads us to repentance. Father God, speak to your people. Lead them and guide them and help them. We'll give you all of the glory, the honor, and the praise in Jesus' name. Just before we go, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here, you've never accepted Christ into your life, we want to give you a chance to do that. Anybody here tonight? You're not sure what would happen to you if you died tonight. Do you know you would go to heaven? Anybody here? Let me see your hand. Raise your hand real big. Ushers, help me for just a minute. Anybody here? Every head's bowed, every eye's closed, except for ushers. Anybody here? You want prayer tonight? You're not saved. You're not born again. You're not sure of your eternity. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. See your hand. Thank you. Thank you so much. You might be here tonight. And maybe you know what it means to be a Christian, but you've turned around, you've gone the other way, and you've been living your own life. You've been making your own decisions. You haven't let Jesus be the Lord of your life, even though you gave your life to Christ. But tonight, you want to get it right. Let me see your hand. I want to be restored. I want to make it right with the Lord. Let me see your hand in this place. I want to get right. Don't harden your heart. Pharaoh hardened his heart. And you see, God can't help you when you harden your heart. Thank you. See your hand. But you see, if you'll soften your heart, you'll listen, because you know something's tugging at your heart. It's not the voice of a preacher. That's the Holy Spirit. I'm just a man. I can't do that. But God is in this place, and you're His child, and He loves you. And he wants to help you, heal you, restore you, and bless you. But you're going to have to cooperate. You're here, but you're not living right. Let me see your hand. You want to get it right tonight. Say, preacher, pray for me. I want to get it right. I want to get it right. Yeah. Here's what I want you to do. On the count of three, I'm just going to count to three. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. On the count of three, I just want you to stand up on your feet. One, just put everything else out of your mind. Get everybody else out of your mind. Two, I want you just to be sensitive to the Lord. Think about what the Lord's trying to tell you. Three, now just stand up on your feet. You had your hand up for either of those prayers, either of those invitations. Just stand right up. That's right. Stand right up. Now, I want you just to come right down here. Let me pray for you. Let me do what we said. We're going to pray for you. Come right on down here. Come right on down here. We're going to pray for you just like we said. Hallelujah. If you raised your hand, or you know right now sitting in your seat, you should have raised your hand. Come on down here. Come on down here. You said you want God to help you. You've been praying. You want God to help you, but you sit there. Come on down here. Let God help you. If you'll show God that you mean business, he will show you that you mean business. I know that was a long walk. God bless you. God's going to bless you for making that walk. Come on down here. Our sister's already down here. You want God to help you. You've been praying. You've been asking God to help you. Oh, but if you sit there, you're hardening your heart. Oh, but if you'll listen and obey God. Listen and obey God. Listen and obey God. Just come right on down. That's right. Let God help you. He's such a merciful God. He's a kind God. He's a good God. He's a loving God. Oh, his kindness leads us to repentance. We felt tonight praying in the Spirit before service. Yes, that's right. God's trying to help his people. Praise God. Glory to God. Thank you so much for coming. God's trying to help his people. Hallelujah. Somebody else here, your hand wasn't up, but your hand should have been up. And you know that. Don't harden your heart. Come on down here and let the Lord help you. Let the Lord bless you. Oh, he's an awesome God. He's a holy God. He's a faithful God. He's a loving God. He's trying to help you. Ladies, if you would just lift one hand to the Lord, what we're saying by that is, I'm just a man. I'm just a human being. But you're praying to God and you're saying, Father God, I'm coming to you. I'm coming to you. And I'm just going to say a prayer out loud. Everybody in the congregation is going to pray it and you all say it out loud after me. Is that okay? Father, we come. That's right. Say it out loud. Father, we come in the name of Jesus. And I ask you, Lord, to forgive me of all of my sins, to cleanse me by the blood of Jesus, to restore me as only you can. And then make me, Father, the person you want me to be. I will love you. I will live for you the rest of the days of my life. I believe your word. You said if I would trust you and ask you, that you would do it. And now, based on your word, I accept your offer of forgiveness through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now lift both hands and let's just praise him for a moment. Father, we thank you. We bless you and honor you and reverence you for your goodness to your people. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the way that you love us. We bless you and honor you. Ladies, right here is Brother Cornell, and he's going to ask you to go to a place of prayer where there's some other ladies too, and they're going to give you some free materials. They're going to pray with you personally, and they're going to answer any questions you have. They're not going to keep you long, but if you would go with our Brother Cornell, he's going to lead you to that place, and they're going to give you free materials and then get you right back out here. Is that okay? Just go with him right now. He's our prayer leader. That's Cornell Nicholson, okay? God bless you. Let's encourage these ladies. Praise God. Come on, stand up on your feet. Lift one hand toward them. Praise God. Father, we're so thankful for these obedient. They're just, Father, they're hungry for you. They want you and to be right with you more than any concern about people. And we pray that you would lavish on them your blessings and your power, your healing and provision. We pray you would lavish, Father God, every spiritual gift that's already theirs in Christ. Father, bring them into the understanding of it. And Father God, lavish your wonderful benefits on them, spiritually, physically, emotionally, in every area of their life. May they experience your blessing, your help, your strength, your provision. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, saints of God, tomorrow's Memorial Day. We want you all to be safe and and give thanks. Let's thank families that have given the ultimate sacrifice. Sit down for a minute. Sit down just a second. How many here, somebody in your family, they gave their life for our country. They gave their life in service. Stand up for me. Somebody in your family gave their life in service to our country. Can we thank these families and their loved ones in extension? The freedoms we have are because of the sacrifices that they made, and may we never forget that as a people or as a country. So, guys, anything else? Do we have first-time guests here? All right, first-time guests, we want you to go with our Connection team members. We got a great gift for you just for coming tonight. One more hand of applause, this time for our first-time guests. Just go with our Connection team members, and they're going to give you a great gift. They're not going to keep you long, but we just want to thank you and bless you for coming today. And so we're so appreciative that you came out to church, and we're grateful for that. So tomorrow, say your prayers, be safe and happy and blessed. Amen. Let the Lord lead you and guide you. He's got great things in store for you throughout this year. But what you do in this season of your life and following the inward witness will determine how far God can bless you. He'll always bless us as far as he can. He wants to bless you so big. He wants to bless you exceedingly abundantly way out above. And so for him to do that, you got to follow him now. Follow those. If there's an adjustment, follow it now. If there's an encouragement, receive it now. If there's strength you need, receive it right now. If it's helped in some way, receive it now. Follow God and obey him, and he will bring you to that place that he has from you, glory to glory.